Sweet. We got a good, small, rowdy, passionate group tonight. I'm stoked. Stoked about, you know, there's nothing better than being in the house of other believers, like believers, co-laborers. Anybody this last week ministered the gospel to somebody? Come on, anybody gave the message of the gospel to somebody? Anybody? Anybody gave their testimony to anybody? Anybody shared their testimony? Did anybody invite anybody to church? Anybody invite anybody to church? Okay. Do you know that you're called to be the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden? Did you know that? Did you know that you're called to not necessarily bring somebody to church, but to give them the message of the gospel? Did you know that, Andrew Manwiller? Did you know that, man? Did you know that's your calling? And sometimes I think, you know, it's amazing how we can wake up and our body just has resurrection power. We can go to an amazing camp or have an amazing worship service, and we wake up the next morning and we're dead as a fly squashed against a window. And we just kind of smear all the way down the window until we just kind of make it back to our bed. And anybody else experience? Am I the only unholy person in here? Am I the only person that experiences that? Okay, so the reality is that you choice to make. Say that. Say, I have a choice to make. And that choice is to either choose to pursue God or choose to not pursue God. You can, and well, this is what happens. When you choose not to pursue God, it's pretty simple. You just rely on your emotions. I'll give you the ingredients on how to not pursue God. You want to know what the ingredients are? Just rely on your emotions. When you feel like it, tell something about Jesus. You probably never will. Okay? When you feel like it, read your Bible. Because I tell you what, if there was a time this week where I felt like it, I wouldn't have read my Bible. Wouldn't have done it. Anybody else? I wouldn't have done it. You have to make a choice. The Bible says you've been set free for freedom's sake. Your job, because of that freedom, is to choose to make a decision to follow Christ. Not waiting and lying in your bed and saying, God, I'm waiting for your grace. Look, God's not going to come and give you, like, move your arms and move your mouth and move your eyes and force you to do something. He set you free freely, but now you have to make the choice to either pursue him from now on or not. That's just a side note. Just a thought. Amen. Amen. So let's make choices. You make choices every day. You respond to something every day, I promise you. There's a cause and effect to everything. If I walked up to Seth and I kicked him in the knee, there would be an effect to that. He would respond to that, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He would. If I slapped Alex in the face, he would respond. He might, what's wrong with you? Why are you hitting me in the face? And they might kick me in the chin or something. And so every day you wake up, you're responding to something. You're either responding to your selfish, lazy, wicked flesh, or you're responding to not yourself, but you're responding to the marvelous mercy and grace of God that has freely been given to you. And so you have to choose every day. You know, faith is a choice. You have to choose to have faith. You have to choose. You can't just wait till, well, maybe one day I'll just get faith. No. You've been given a portion of faith, and for that faith to grow, you have to choose to access it and to walk in it every day. You have to choose to believe. I promise you every day I wake up, I'm not this full, overflowing of faith. I have to choose to wake up and read my word that strengthens my faith and gives me more faith, right? We've talked about that. And I have to choose to be obedient to the Lord and continue to walk in his will and to love people and to love him and to honor him. And when I make a mistake, I repent. But I have to make a choice every day to respond to his love and mercy in my life. Amen? You have a choice to make. You're all here tonight because you made a choice. I promise you, nobody forced you to come here. You made a choice to come here. You're here for a reason, and that's why we're gonna be encouraged together tonight. I'm not gonna discourage you. My job is to encourage you. So I'm excited to encourage you. You excited to be encouraged tonight?
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump into it. I got 25 minutes. You ready? Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 36. Okay, I'm sorry. I just got to ask this question. Does anybody have the New Living Translation Bible? The New Living Translation, you have it on you. Okay. You have it on you. I'll let you have it. Can I read from your Bible? I love the New Living Translation. I cannot get an... That is. It is New Living. So, don't get on me because I'm having a pink Bible. Just accept me. Love me. Release the burden that you put on me. Come on, baby. Come on. Tonight we got a special announcement. Her name, well, she's 16 years old tonight. Her name is Josie. Can we give it up for Josie Regal? 16 tonight. Josie, when are you getting your driver's license?
Next year.
You know, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I waited 3 months before I got my license. Yeah. I wasn't in a hurry. You guys are in a hurry to leave and go places. Josie, you just stay cool. You just stay cool. Don't worry about it. You just let it ride. Let it ride. But if you're afraid of doing it, you gotta work through that fear. You gotta get in a go-kart and just ride off a cliff and get over all those fears. No, I don't encourage that. You at Luke chapter 7? Luke chapter 7. Josie, happy birthday tonight. Glad you're here tonight. We love you. Last week, we had a whole birthday song and birthday cake prepared for somebody because the mom brought them, but they didn't come 2 weeks ago. Who was that? She here?
No.
My goodness. We had the cake ready. They had the candles lit. We actually paid for a choir to be here. My goodness. Okay, you ready? 36, verse 36. I don't know how to not talk. Okay, you ready? 7:36. This Bible is crazy. One of the Pharisees, this is the New Living, so if you just want to just listen, you can listen. It reads really good. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. Pharisees obviously were the religious leaders of the day. They influenced the religious culture and the Jewish culture of the time. So any traditions and things they did, they were very religious and traditional. And they didn't like Jesus because he was very not religious and he was very not traditional. He was led by the Spirit and he was free and he loved the sinners. And so they didn't like that. But this guy obviously was not hating Jesus. He probably was just a religious guy who thought Jesus was a pretty cool guy, so he wanted to receive from him. So he invites him over for dinner. Verse 37. When a certain immoral woman, or in your translation probably says a sinful woman from that city heard he was eating there. Anybody ever heard about Jesus? What happened when we heard about Jesus? A lot of us, we heard about Jesus, we came running to him and we gave our life to him. Sometimes people hear about Jesus and they mock him and they scorn his name and they think that he's just a good guy. But this lady heard something, heard that he was staying somewhere. It says that she heard he was staying, eating there. She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Did you hear that? These religious guys are getting all mad because they're touching the prophet, okay? Then Jesus answered his thoughts. I love that. Jesus answers your thoughts. When you read the Bible, Jesus will answer your thoughts. When you start questioning things, you start living unholy, you start doing things, Jesus will answer your thoughts and he will challenge your thoughts. And it's good for him to challenge your thoughts because he wants to bring you closer and closer to him. So if you ever feel like your thoughts are being challenged biblically, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus challenges his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, interesting, "I have something to say to you." Call Simon or Peter a Pharisee. "Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. Then Jesus told him the story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head. Other translations say, you even neglected the low courtesy. It was kind of like the lowest courtesy that you could do to anoint his head with cheap oil. He says, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume or costly perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. That's a good story. Go in peace, he says. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You know the scripture. I'm sure you've heard it. Hebrews 4, verse 16. It says, it reads, and then we're going to pray. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Would you pray with me tonight? Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you so much for all the people that have laid their life down and bled that we can have a Bible in our hands. And we thank you that we live in a nation and in a country where we can freely worship you. I pray, Lord, that that would be extended and, God, that you would work in our government systems and, God, cause us to be in a place where there is freedom to worship you, freedom of religion. And, God, if it's not, Lord, we're going to continue to worship you. We're going to continue to praise you and we're going to continue to declare your name. God, help us all to hear your word tonight, understand it. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and minds to perceive what you're speaking tonight. Encourage us, challenge us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 So one of the things I love about Willow is that my dad lives in Willow. My parents live in Willow. And I've told you before that my parents are wealthy. And so I enjoy going out there because every time I go out there, I get a bunch of food. So you know me, you know I'm always talking about food. I just actually had a lunch a little bit ago, and on the way, as we're sitting there, the food across the way, or somebody else's food came, and I was literally, before it even hit the table, I was asking them if I could have some of their fries, and I was bitter that they got fries and I didn't, but we had the same menu, and I chose the fries. I'm crazy about food. People are like, you better watch your figure when you're 30. I'm like, shut up, I rebuke that. When I'm 30. Jesus started his ministry when he was 30. I'm waiting for that anointing. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so I just love, every time I go out there, there's always chips. Anybody know what tiger sauce is? Tiger sauce? Tiger sauce. It's sauce for meat. I don't use it for meat. I actually rebuke that too. It tastes bad on meat, but what it tastes good on is Tostito chips. And so whenever I go out to my parents' house, I eat these Tostito chips with this tiger sauce, and it tastes, Aubrey, it is phenomenal. It's ridiculous. My mouth salivates. It's just going crazy. On the way there, what I do is I get these Tostitos. I'm just nasty. When you're young and you're hungry, you just eat anything, man. You guys seen the movie 17 again? Oh, I didn't see. I heard about it. I saw it. This guy is crazy. He throws on this, like, he gets like this hot dog bun. He puts mayonnaise on it, peanut butter on it, and chocolate on it. Throws some pickles on it and onions on it, mustard on it, closes the thing and starts eating it. So I'm at my parents' house, and I didn't do that bad. I just do Tostitos with some cheese and some tiger sauce. And so anyway, every time I go out there, I just go right to the drawer, open it up, and I start eating. You know, anybody else do that when they go home? When I go home. And so I just know that on the way out there, my parents aren't going to, you know, put like padlocks on the drawers, and they're not going to say you can't come into the house or stay out of the kitchen. They got caution signs up. You know, Gabriel's here. Get out of the kitchen. They're just not going to do that. So I just know every time I go to my parents' house, I just know, I just expect that when I get there, that there's going to be food for me. There's going to be a leather couch for me to lay on. There's going to be a bed preserved for me to go take a big, you know, nap whenever I need it. There's going to be a four-wheeler if I just want to go cruising. There's going to be a jet ski. There's just going to be things for me just to go do. And my dad just says, here, here's a key. Take the Hummer. Here's the key. Take the quad thing, whatever it's called. Here's the key to the house. It's coming here. Whatever you want to do is eat food and just chill. And so whenever I go to my parents' house, I just know it's just there. It's just there. And I want to correlate this and relate this with Christians that we need to have the same mentality with our Heavenly Father. We need to realize that when we come into God's place that we have a strong expectation, an expectation that rules any emotion, an expectation that surpasses any feeling, an expectation that says that no matter what, God's going to bless me. No matter what, He's going to have mercy on me. No matter what, He's going to provide. Anybody saying amen? Amen. No matter what, no matter where I go, God's going to provide for me. No matter what happens to me, God's going to be there in the midst of me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to give me mercy and grace in time of need. No matter what. When I go to my dad, I'll say, Dad, don't you remember I'm your son? No, he remembers. He knows I'm his son. I don't have to sit at the door and write him a letter and then read it to him and tell him why I deserve to come and eat his food. I'm going to come eat his food because I'm his son and he lets me eat his food till the day I'm 50 years old or until he passes away and then I'll get his inheritance. I love my dad. I'm not trying to say that I want. Okay, you get the idea. Okay, you see what I'm saying, though? You see what I'm saying? And so with our Heavenly Father, we have a tendency as Christians to try to prove to God why we should get something. Or there, in other words, then the other thing that we'll do is we'll say, you know what? I there's nothing good enough about me, so I'm not even going to go to him because we think that our God is a crude manager. We think that he's going to beat us on the head when we come to him. We think that he's mad at us. I promise you, he's not mad at you. Did you know that the Bible tells us that when you were forgiven of your sins, that the anger and the wrath of God was removed forever from you? Have you heard that before? There's no more anger and wrath toward you from God. When you receive Jesus, the wrath of God is done. God's not mad at you. You just got to know that. When I go to my dad's house, I'm not afraid that he's just going to beat me when I get there. If he's going to beat me, I'm expecting he's going to call me. Hey, when you get here, I'm going to beat you, so just get ready. Yeah, I ain't coming then. Then don't come. All right, I ain't coming then. Yeah, I'm just not going to come. Our Heavenly Father's not going to beat us. Did you know that the purpose of Jesus was to take upon the wrath of God? When we were singing the songs, Worthy is the Lamb who sits on the throne. Did you know that what the purpose of that, what John the Baptist declares, is that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus walks into the scene for the first time in John chapter 1, and John the Baptist says, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What was the Lamb of God? Well, he signified the one who would sacrifice himself or itself as a lamb to appease the wrath of God. And so all of God's wrath that was towards Aubrey, and all of God's wrath that was towards Alan Castle, and all of God's wrath that was towards Cecilia, even when she doesn't want to get her driver's license, all of God's wrath toward any of us, all of his people, was appeased on his son. Did I say Cecilia? Josie. You got your license already? Okay. Did you hear that though? It was all appeased. It was all taken care of. So there's no more on you. Let's check this out. Let's read it in here in Romans chapter 3 verse 23. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God with undeserved kindness declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us with the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. Did you hear that? People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. We are made right by faith. We are made right with God simply by believing in his son. And when we're made right with him, we then have the ability to come to him boldly because we're right with him. We're not right with him because we did something wrong, and we're not right with him because we did something wrong. We're right with him because we're his children. Now, if we sin, we're out of alignment, and we simply, all we have to do is repent and accept his forgiveness in a moment. Now, does that mean that I can just go do whatever I want? No, of course not. That's an idiot thought. No, we can't go do what we want. And if we go and do what we want to do and just kind of live a sinful life and go and try and receive forgiveness, well, then you haven't experienced the full love of God, because when you experience the full love of God, you're not going to go do what you want to do. You want to give your whole life for him. And we're going to read that in this scripture coming up. You with me? You with me? This is the main thing I want to attack and I want to destroy tonight, is the fear of Christians going to God. Did you know in Ephesians 2, the Bible says that there was, Paul says, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this to the Ephesians. He says that there was enmity between us and God. But when God killed his son, and yes, he did, his wrath killed his son. Because his son bore the sin of the world. And the wrath of God annihilated the son in order to pay for the sin. So that when we stand in Christ, our sin has been paid for. Does that make sense? Okay, so the idea is that we're forgiven. The idea is that in Christ, we've been forgiven. Our sin has been paid for. There's no more, what if I do this? There's no more, there's no more about that. There's no more of that. It's just been paid for. And so Jesus Christ takes upon the sin of the world. I'm going to hand this back to you, Rachel. Thank you. There's no more condemnation. So that enmity that was between, going back to my original thought, that enmity, that anger that was between us and God, because God was angry with you. Before you accepted him, he was angry with you. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, that anger and that wrath was gone. And so the thing I want to attack tonight is those emotions, those feelings that lead us away from God, because there's something, it's the devil and it's our flesh that tells us that we are not good enough, which we're not in of ourselves, but we don't deserve to go to God. And we're not good enough to go to God. And if I go to God, he's going to get mad at me. So when we start talking about GM camp, there's so many people who get afraid of going to camp because they know that at camp they're going to experience God's presence, and they're going to get scared of God's presence, because when they experience God's presence, they feel like they're not good enough to go into God's presence, and so they hide. And so when people come to church, they're afraid of God's presence, so they don't worship God, because they know that when they start worshiping God and they start declaring who Jesus is, they start feeling this presence, they start feeling this holiness, they start feeling this fire, and they're afraid to step closer and closer in because they're afraid of what will happen. But the people that grow in the Lord are the people who say, I don't care what's going to happen. I'm going to trust that he loves me. Hebrews 11:6 says this, that those who come to God must believe that he is, or that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, or persistently seek him. And so you have to realize, and you have to believe, and you have to have faith that if you are going to go to God, he will have mercy on you. He will give you grace to accomplish his will. He will pardon the sin that you did. Because you're his son, you're his daughter. Does that make sense? We see it in this scripture. Now, we just read about this sinful woman. Jesus is eating with these Pharisees. And Simon was there. And they're sitting there. And the Bible says, actually Jesus says, the moment I walked in, she hasn't stopped. So what I would picture is this, is that as Jesus walks in, what he's expecting is that Peter would kiss him on the cheek. He would hug him. He would accept him. He would anoint his head with oil. And he'd begin to wash the dust off his feet, because that was custom. But Peter doesn't do that. But the moment he walks in, this woman walks in behind him, and as he sits down, she falls at his feet. Not the front of his feet, but because she came in an attitude of humility, an attitude of, I don't deserve this, she comes from behind him, and she begins to weep, and her tears hit his feet, and she begins to wash his feet with her hair, and kiss his feet with her mouth, obviously, and she begins to massage with her hands and her hair his feet, and anoints him with costly perfume. And Jesus said, or these people say, who is this woman? Jesus, don't you know this woman is a sinner? Don't you know this woman is a sinner, Jesus? If he knew that she was a, or sorry, if he was a prophet, he would know that she's a sinner and this girl's not worthy. Jesus answers her thoughts. And he tells a story. He says, one guy owes 500 denarii, or coins. Another one owes 50 coins. Well, the guy goes, you know what? I'm going to forgive both of them. So he forgives them both. And he says, Peter, which one would love him more? He goes, well, I'm guessing the one that got forgiven more. Well, you're right. And then we pick up here. He says, do you see this woman? I got the wrong Bible again. Whatever, I'll just read from this one. Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has not washed my feet, blah, blah, blah. She kissed my feet. She anointed my head. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Check this out. All of what I'm saying is wrapped up right here. You ready? This woman did not come to Jesus in order to receive mercy. She came to Jesus because she had already received mercy. What Jesus was saying, they're like, why is this woman kissing you? He says, well, if somebody gets paid, if their debt gets completely paid for, they're going to completely and fully love me. What he's saying is that the response or the action of this woman was because of my first action. See, our lives are a complete response to what he has already done for us. My job is not trying to earn or trying to get into the presence of God, try to get his mercy. My job is to respond to the mercy that was given to me because I believed in Jesus. The reason why this woman was able to come boldly and confidently into the presence of God was because she understood that she'd already been forgiven. We don't know, but we can pull from this text that this woman had already been forgiven. Jesus reassures her in verse 50, I think it's 50 or 51. He reassures her in verse 48, that your sins are forgiven. But the reason why her sins were forgiven was not because she fell at his face and wiped his feet and anointed his body and feet with oil. The reason why she was forgiven was because Jesus was mercy in bodily form. Jesus represented and actually was in essence and in substance God's mercy in the form of a human being. And she understood this, and she received this, and she said, well, because of that, I'm going to reasonably respond and go to this man who has fully pardoned and forgiven all of my sin, and I'm going to give my whole life. See, what this shows us now is that a life that is fully committed to God only comes from the understanding that a life has been fully forgiven. This woman was fully forgiven, so therefore she fully gave her whole self. She gave her hands, she gave her hair, she gave her mouth, she gave even her money or her perfume that she broke over his feet, which was very costly. I promise you, you'll never earn it. And when you try earning it, check this out. As a matter of fact, when you try earning it, you won't get it. When you try to justify why you should come into God's presence and receive his love, you're not going to get it. Because you're trying to come to him out of works, out of your own justification. But the person that says, I have been fully forgiven, I have been fully saved, I have been fully, all my junk, all who I was has been fully paid for. And even when I make a mistake, it can be even that mistake, even that sin can be paid for as long as I come in humility and repent. But I am forgiven and I receive mercy because I am righteous in his eyes and in his sight. You with me? And so what does that mean? That means that if you're saved, we can do what Hebrews 4:16 says. We can come boldly, just like I come to my dad. I come boldly. And I'm not going to bang down his door and beat up his house like it's mine. I honor him and I respect him as the owner of the house and as my father. And I ask him, hey, can I get some food? And I'm just barging, kicking things around and just throwing cookies in the air and eating them like a cookie monster. I come with honor and respect, but I know I expect that he's going to have mercy. I expect that he's going to give me grace. I expect that he's going to bless me. Amen? Amen? So what does all this mean? This means, first of all, for you, if you are a believer, check this out, man. Stop getting afraid of going to God. If you feel convicted ever, it's a good thing. It's God's kindness that's convicting you. It's a good thing if God's convicting you, because he's saying, I want you to come closer to me. And it's as easy as saying, okay, Father, I understand that I'm convicted of this for the 15th time. How the heck do I get out of this? Well, first you start off with repenting. Okay. Then secondly, you accept this forgiveness. Then thirdly, you go to somebody and you confess your faults to one another and pray with that person that you would receive forgiveness. And then you walk with that person to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling, trusting that God will deliver you through this thing. You don't just hide out in the corner and say God's grace isn't enough. No, you got to take steps in God's grace and walk out God's grace, trusting he's going to deliver you through that thing. But you're not receiving forgiveness because you gave a sacrifice. There's only one sacrifice that was good enough. It was the sacrifice that was held on Calvary 2,000 years ago by a man. He is the God-man. His name is Jesus Christ, and he paid for the sin of all mankind once and for all. And that's the only sacrifice that we are able to come into the presence of God. And so how are we able to worship God with passion? How are we able to worship God with confidence? Not because we did all the right things, but because we fully received this mercy and grace that has been freely given to us. Man, that's good. That's just good to think about. That deserves my worship. That deserves my whole. That deserves my hair. That deserves my mouth. That deserves my hands. That deserves my feet. That deserves my time. That deserves my mornings. That deserves my night. That deserves me to pray and to thank God for every meal before I eat it. It deserves me to declare his praises. It deserves it. Deserves it. It's reasonable. It's logical for me to give my whole life. Why? Because I've been fully and freely been forgiven. That's good news. That's the gospel. What did I do? Well, you just accept it. Well, you believe in your heart and you confess in your mouth and you just begin to walk it out. That's it. Yeah, that's it. You're his son. You're his daughter. You just accept it. And every time you fall, you go back to the Father. You say, Father, I'm thank you. You're my Father. I thank you for you're forgiving and you're loving and you're full of mercy. And so, Lord, I made a mistake. Forgive me. I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm asking that you just forgive. Okay, okay, cool. And what else? You just keep serving me. You sure? Yeah, just keep serving me. And that's it. That's it. So what do we do as Christians? What's the message tonight? The message is this. Stop being afraid of coming to God's presence. Stop being afraid of worshiping him. Stop being afraid of responding to conviction. Stop being afraid of him. Trust that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Trust that. Trust that. I promise you, if you trust that, he will not let you down. He will not. You ain't going to be let down. He saw this woman who was completely broken, and he comes and he looks at her and he fully receives her and he fully forgives her and he fully accepts her and he fully loves her. That's like the woman in John chapter 8 who was caught in the act of adultery. Every other person was saying that she did this and she did that. And you even have friends who maybe one day they're going to accept you and love you and pray for you, but the next day they're mad at you and they can't even look at you. Well, we have somebody who is a rock of mercy and who will never let you down. He's faithful to the end. His love never fails. He's consistently pursuing you. His love is consistently have you heard that? His love is consistently pursuing you, and that is worth my whole life. Yeah. That's worth my whole life. I just accept. You just got to embrace it. Some of us don't know how to, somebody comes and hugs us, we get all stiff, we don't know how to hug back. And that's how we are sometimes with God. When he comes to embrace us, we don't know how to accept it. Well, I don't deserve this hug. Shut up and receive the hug. Just receive his marvelous mercy and his grace. Well, I don't deserve it either. But you got to believe it by faith that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He sees this woman, and everybody else is pointing her out. Look what she did, and look what she did. And he just pulls her next to himself. And he says, I know, but this one right here, she's mine. This one right here is forgiven. This one right here is fully forgiven. Yeah, but what about, shut up. She's forgiven. Yeah, but she did all, it doesn't matter about that anymore because he's fully forgiven. Well, at that one time, well, shut up. I don't care about that anymore. Stop condemning people. You're from the devil. This woman, this man, you are fully forgiven in Christ Jesus, and you just got to accept it and believe it and come to him boldly. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And stop judging people. We got to stop condemning people. We got to be Jesus' hands and feet. If this ministry is known for anything, it needs to be known for the ministry that is always. Every time you bump into one of us, you're just going to be encouraged. Something nice is going to be said. Man, your hair looks good. I haven't taken a shower yet. I don't care. Shut up. Your hair looks good. Just receive that. This kid. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? We got to be encouraging and uplifting because Christ has received us and encouraged us and uplifted us. All right, I'm wrapping up now. Tonight, supposed to be our last night. This Sunday is going to be the last week for signing up for camp. Signing up for camp. A camp is a place where we get away. And we have a milestone in our life. And I'll tell you the strongest and most impacting milestones of my life, the top 10, the top 6, I would say, were all at camp. And I've been to 5 camps, so you do the math. I've experienced God in measures and in ways that I can't even describe to you. I've seen God heal people and do things that I can't describe. And I've experienced God in ways that I can't even describe to you. God is rich in mercy, and he is passionate about people who get away to pursue him. This woman could have not come into this house, but she decided, she expected, if I go into this house and I step into this place and I respond to him, he's going to have more mercy on me. He's going to have more grace on me. He's going to give me more things. He's going to bless me in front of everybody else. He's going to bless me because she decided to step out and say, I'm already forgiven, but I just want a little bit more of this mercy. I just want a little bit more of this grace. I want to receive more that he has for us. And that's what camp's about. It's about us stopping our normal daily lives, saying, I'm just gonna take a break from work. Well, yeah, I don't know if I can get, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Just stopping and saying, I'm gonna go to camp. I'm gonna step out of my comfort zone and receive what God has for me. This is the last week, 2:35 for that. We're trying to get everybody in by the end of this week, this Sunday, to sign up by 2:35. Can we get signed up? Can we get signed up? Get signed up. There's so many more things on my heart that I gotta say, I wanna say. But that's pretty much it. Get signed up for camp. Get signed up for camp. June 6th and June 13th. If you want to make money to get to camp, you want to earn money to get to camp, June 6th and 13th, the next two Saturdays, next Saturday and the following Saturday, we're having a car wash outside from 10 to 3. So you got to be here. Be here. Get your own car wash. The expected donations are 10 bucks. And you can make money, you can earn money to go to camp. Amen? Amen. The other thing. Well, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. So sign up for camp. What we're going to do right now, I'm going to close in prayer, and Shailene and some of our other leaders, I'll encourage all of our leaders to just kind of head out there. And if you have not signed up for camp, or maybe you've signed up, but you haven't got signed up. My good. Hello? You haven't signed up. Maybe you haven't finished your deal. Just go out there, sign up. I encourage you to sign up. Even if you don't got the money, sign up. We'll make sure you get to camp. If you can get to camp, get to camp. We'll make sure you get the money provided for you. Amen. Amen. Were you encouraged tonight? Were you encouraged tonight? Come boldly to his throne room of grace and receive his mercy and grace. And I promise you, when you take a week out of your life to pursue God, you will grow in leaps and bounds, not only with him, but with people around you. This is a place for you to connect with other believers as well. It's an amazing experience. I encourage you strongly to come to camp. I'm going to pray over you and bless you, and we're going to be dismissed. Amen? Go sign up for camp. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last thing. I announced it earlier, but this Wednesday night, I got people calling me. My phone's going crazy. This Wednesday night, this yesterday, our junior high youth ministry. So it's part of GM. It's our youth ministry. Pastor Reed, and his wife Mariah are the youth pastors of that ministry, and they lead with Rachel. She gave the awesome and amazing message for the tithe tonight. They just gave and announced their new name. It's called GM Ignite. It's all about igniting a flame in young people starting in junior high ministry, that they would get passionate about God in that place. By the time they get here, they're just lighting all of us on fire. You know what I mean? And so God's doing great things there. I really encourage you, if you know of any junior hire, if you understand what a junior hire is going through and you know of any of them, you need to send them to this youth ministry. They have a lot of fun and a good time, and God's presence is powerful and impacting on those nights, the Wednesday nights, just as much as it is here. So I encourage you, be there. Encourage people. Encourage junior hires to be there. But GM Ignite, I got my bracelet on tonight. GM Ignite. So, good stuff. So, hey, I love you tonight. I'm going to pray for you and bless you. And we're going to bounce. Say on three, we're going to say bounce. One, two, three. Bounce. Okay, ready? Heavenly Father, tonight I pray for your people. God, I pray for all of the people that are here tonight, Father, that they would learn how to receive your mercy and grace. God, that they would learn how to embrace all that you have for them. I pray that, God, in this next week, Lord, that you'd bless them, you would strengthen them, Lord, you would speak to them through your word. God, that in their intimate times with you, Lord, that they would press in and they would experience the rewarding hand and the rewarding heart and the rewarding mouth of God our Father. Father, you'd bless them and provide for them in every area and way of their life. I pray you'd use them to be a light in this dark, hurting world. And God, that you'd strengthen their faith. Let your love abound in their hearts. And God, I pray that you just convict people to go to camp. Bless them now. Bless them now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, I love you tonight. Shailene's heading out there. Go sign up for camp.